This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. The National Cathedral here in Washington normally echoes to the sounds of its 4,800-pipe organ or the celestial voices of its choir. But last week, the music soaring to the heavens had a very different ring. Folk rock from the likes of Jackson Browne, Graham Nash, David Crosby, and Grammy-winning blues man Kevin Moore, a.k.a. Kebmo.
If your problems won't go away, and you're worried night and day, hand it over, get on your knees and pray.
That was one of the songs Kebmo performed at the gathering. It was called Pray for Peace, and it focused on a single message, a plea to end war and violence. Before the concert, I spent some time at the cathedral with Kebmo and Graham Nash, who still occasionally tours as part of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. The Reverend Dr. Samuel Lloyd III, Dean of the National Cathedral, joined us as well. Graham Nash told me this Pray for Peace idea was hatched 3 years ago.
We were here to see the Dalai Lama speak, and afterwards the bishop wanted to meet David and I, so we hung around and waited for him to find out that he was a drummer in a rock band in the 60s. So immediately we loved him, right? He's a fellow musician. And the conversation turned a little more serious, and I asked John where the religious response was to all this killing in the name of their own individual gods. Why hasn't there been an outcry from the religious community about this? And he said, well, there's never really been a religious summit like that. And I said, well, why don't you get all your guys together, and I'll get my guys together, and we'll put on a concert here, and we'll have religious heads from all around the world to speak about peace. And it was an idea. John was brave enough to embrace it and run it round all the people that he deals with. They thought it was a good idea. The same thing happened on my end with the musicians, you know, with Jackson and Keb and Emily and John Hall and Jackson. And here it is. Tonight is the night.
Keb, well, how did you get involved?
I was asked to participate by Jackson Browne. He called me and said, would you come participate in this Pray for Peace?
And why did you want to?
Well, I was free that day, one number one. And when you say pray for peace, and when you put together like Jackson, somebody who is, in terms of his putting his money where his mouth is, in terms of standing up for just what is consciously correct, and I'm the word correct, maybe there's a better word, but consciously responsible. He's one that really stands up for that, so I just go where I'll go where he goes. I'll just go. I don't think too much about what I'm doing like that.
Yes, that's one of the things that Jackson brings to the party. You trust him. Yeah. He has a wonderful heart and a wonderful soul.
Do you believe that you can pray for peace? Do you believe that prayer works?
Absolutely. Do you know a religion that doesn't pray? Do you know anybody in religion that doesn't want the best for their children? Wants the children to have a better life than they did? Wants them educated and fed and loved? Doesn't the majority of people on the planet want that? So why are we constantly in war? And that's the dialogue that we have to open. We have to open up our hearts and our minds and talk to each other about these problems. I mean, what's heading towards us right now, as far as I can see, is a direct confrontation between Western religion and Islam. And it will be a mess.
Every day in our lives, we are praying. Every thought we have, everything that comes out of our mouth is a prayer. Sometimes we think about prayer as just, well, I'm going to pray right now, and then you go about your business. But even when you're not praying, so to speak, in the sense of the way we think of prayer, you're still praying. Because all of your thoughts and all of your actions and all of your energy towards certain ideas come to fruition. We are, in a sense, little dream machines, all of us. Little dream machines. So what we dream, what we think, what we take in, you can't help but walk around and take in all this energy about war. So we turn on CNN, you turn on the conversations, we're talking about the war. More so, we're talking about the war and maybe but we're giving our attention to the war. You see what I mean? But giving our attention to peace, and I think today is a great start to, as Graham was saying, to start to give our attention towards peace and stop giving our attention toward the war.
Dean, I wanted to ask you that there are those who would argue that an event like this preaches to the choir, as it were. The people who would be attracted to an event like this would already be people who are thinking along these lines. What would you say to that?
I suspect we are preaching to the choir, but we're also trying to energize the choir to be about the work of making peace. You know, I want to pick up on this notion about praying. When we come to pray together, we're not praying that God up above is all going to come down and sweep away conflict and make a world of peace. We're asking that the Spirit of God, which is a spirit of peace, is going to move among us and among all the religions to make us people of peace and to be about the business of building a world of peace. And that means that what happens in the wonderful music we will hear is that we will be energized and caught up in a vision of what a more peaceful world will be like, and we will pray for what that world might be, and we will go out to be people of peace ourselves. That's why we're here.
I wanted to also pick up on a point that Graham made, which is that part of what he was saying motivates him as a concern that there's a clash coming. There are those who argue that there really is no such thing as interfaith dialogue per se, that really glosses over the very real differences of vision, the real differences of worldview that are at the heart of many of these conflicts.
Religions are different. They have different paths they walk. They have different experiences that have shaped them. They have different practices. But deep at the core of all of them is a fundamental conviction that life is sacred and that human beings are sacred and that the vision of what life is meant to be is a place of peace and justice and compassion for everyone. We're not coming together to decide that we agree on our doctrines and practices. We're coming together because we believe at the depth of all of our religious journeys is this God who is calling us into lives of compassion and graciousness and peace. And coming together energizes us all to see that we're all part of the same common quest.
But if that's the case, then why are so many people moved to kill in the name of their faith? It's happening every day.
It's a question religious people have to ask themselves all the time, because so much killing is done in the name of religious faith. Part of what has to be said is the conflicts people are involved in are different from religion in many cases, that they have to do with ethnicity and nationality and history and heritage. But religion becomes the rallying cry. Strong leaders know how to use religion to mobilize their people to do what they want them to do. What we as religious leaders and people of prayer want to do is say no. To do that is to read religion wrong, and we want to take back religious faith as the agent of peace it's supposed to be.
Graham, do you believe that music is transformative in a way that perhaps other ways of communicating are not? Is there something you feel you can express through music that perhaps is not expressed other ways?
I'm shooting off my mouth constantly. And whatever art form I happen to be utilizing is how it comes out. The majority of my life is music, obviously. But there are many other areas, you know, to your life. And I think that you have to start with yourself in many ways. Love yourself. Have respect for yourself. And then spread that to your partner and to your children and to your family. And let's start there. And if everybody did that, we'd be a long way down the road that Dean was speaking about.
Kev, what about you? As a blues artist, you talk a lot about the gritty side of life. You deal with some very serious and profound issues in your music. Do you feel that there are things that you can say musically that perhaps people won't be willing to hear other ways?
Well, I don't look at myself as someone that's really making a huge, huge difference. I look at myself as somebody that's making a difference in my own spot, you know, in my world, where I am. And like Graham was saying, I'd really, interesting to hear you say that. It's like if everyone just thought about love themselves, they just start right there.
Yeah.
Something just as simple as just love yourself. Actually, I have a song called You Can Love Yourself. It's kind of crazy.
Great.
You know, but it's like if you just love yourself and just start where you live, because I can't control, I can play songs, I can write songs till I'm blue, green, and yellow in the face, you know, and sing. But it really starts with each and every one of us. And so when we're praying, you know, like Sam said, when we're praying to not God to come down and save us. You know, I believe in myself as what I know is that I am a significant part of God, a small part. But God is not like something out there. We are God. You know, God is manifesting itself in us. You know, as we are looking for God out there somewhere, God is here in the room in you. You don't have to reach out to God. God is reaching out to you constantly every day, asking you, what can I do? And when we pray, we're requesting to ourselves and the God in us to bring that out and to let that manifest and let that become the norm and let that become more prevalent, because it's already here. We don't have to reach out. We don't have to ask for it.
My baby, she wrote me a letter. She didn't call me on the phone. 5 little words was all she wrote. She said, see you later, I'm gone. She had no explanation about why she had to go. Well, I can't take a joke, but I can take a hint. She don't love me no more. And if nobody loves you and you're feeling like dust on an empty shelf, just remember, you can love yourself. How we doing out there? My mother says she loves me, but you know she could be jiving too. Everybody's always criticizing everything that I do. I work 9 to 5, do the best I can. I try to please the boss. I bought a big old house and a brand new car, and then it laid me off. Well, if nobody loves you and you're feeling like dust on an empty shelf, just remember, you can love yourself.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We were just listening to Keb Mo's You Can Love Yourself. It's from his Grammy Award-winning album, Just Like You. Last week, I spoke with Keb Mo, Graham Nash, and the dean of the Washington National Cathedral, the Reverend Sam Lloyd, about an event called Pray for Peace, a benefit concert for the cathedral's Global Justice and Reconciliation Center. It was also a kind of summit for musicians and spiritual leaders. There's no question that it was a way to get out a faith-based anti-war message. I wondered how important it was that all the messengers themselves be faithful to the cause. I wanted to ask if any of you ever have a concern that artists participate in events like this just because it's fashionable, as opposed to because they really believe or care.
Certainly,
and do you care if that's the case?
I'm certain that there are people that do that just jump on bandwagons, you know. I'm sure there are. And so what?
You don't care?
I don't care. I'm doing what I do.
Even if you're jumping on because it's fashionable, the point is that you're jumping on.
But conversely, do you ever get concerned that people are coming to the event just because they want to see you all sing,
as opposed to because they really care about the intention? We know what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
We know.
Do you care?
No, I don't care. As long as they're there, as long as they're listening, as long as they take something away from the event. Doesn't matter why they come. Doesn't matter how Picasso paints. It's only the result of his work. How does it affect your heart? Does it change you as a human being? Doesn't matter how Picasso got there.
What do you want people to take away from this event?
I would love people to take away from this event that the human being is completely unique. I mean, stand outside in the dark sometime and look at the stars, and then realize just how magnificent this universe is. And then you begin to realize just how frail humanity is and how weak we are. And we have to open up and start talking to each other. I've been talking to people that, you know, put on records all my life. Why can't we talk to each other? Why is this clash that I feel coming? Why is it coming? What did we do to upset Middle Eastern religions? What specifically did we do? And can we undo it? What is America doing in this world that has so many people upset with us? We have to be doing something. They're not all crazy. What is it? And how can we undo it?
Kemmer, what would you like people to take away from this event?
Well, when I hear something that's said that's really important, I like to harp on it. And like, if there's some kind of groove going with Graham here, he's like really, he's plugged into some wire that's like really cool. Just hits it right there for me. And the thing about responsibility, one thing that we did not do after 9/11, you know what I mean, was try to figure out why they're so angry with us. The only thing you heard was, we don't negotiate with terrorists. Well, who are the terrorists? You know, who are the terrorists? In every argument I've ever heard in my life, there's one side and the other side. And one side will plead his side to make him right. And the other side, if you listen to each side, you'll believe that both of them are right. But the fact of the matter is, it's a co-creation of the conflict. You can't have a conflict without two people. There's never one going, well, he did that to me. There's always some level of responsibility, even if it's just you need to just get out of the way, you know. There's always some level of responsibility to both sides to a conflict. And us as America did not take responsibility for our side.
Dean, final question to you. What are you hoping that people will take away from this event tonight?
I hope people will see some things and hear some things and feel some things that will energize them to go back to their homes and their cities and wherever they come from to be people of peace in their own tradition in a deeper way. We're in the vision business here, trying to give people a vision and experience of what life is meant to be and the courage to go back and live it out. And in this case, to go back and work against the violence and against the war that's ripping our world apart.
But you know the prophet, I think it was Jeremiah, who said that those who cry peace, peace when there is no peace, are themselves in the wrong.
What Jeremiah is talking about is people who declare that the world out there is just fine the way it is and there's peace everywhere, nothing to worry about. What we're saying is cry peace, a just, compassionate peace, and go to work to make it happen.
And is there a song you most want to hear tonight?
Teach your children well. It'll be awfully good.
Okay. All right. Sam Lloyd, Dean of the Washington Cathedral. Graham Nash, Keb Moe, they're all here for Pray for Peace. Thank you all so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by. And so become yourself.
You can see photos of our visit to the cathedral and the Pray for Peace concert by checking out our website, npr.org/tellmemore.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh.